It's happened again. We've been through the worship, and prophecies and pictures have been given, and God has already given me preach. May he be glorified in his church. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians, Paul's letters to the Philippians, and it's chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading from verse 1 kind of to verse 12. And I'm, as always, it's not the Message Bible that I read from. It's the New Living Translation. Because I'm a thick and I like things to say. I don't understand Old English. So I'll give you a second to get there. Okay, Philippians, basically from the beginning. This is a letter from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I am writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the elders and the deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ. From time to time you've heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you. For you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favour of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with a tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and much praise to God. I'm going to read from verse 9 again, because this is what I'm preaching about. The last bit was context. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you'll keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus, for this will bring much glory and much praise to God. Shall we pray? Shall we talk to Father? Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your word. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, send your spirit, Lord. Make your word active and powerful. Lord, I just thank you for humility, for being able to bring your word. Lord, I am not worthy of this, Lord. But it's such an honour and a blessing. Lord, keep me true and keep me right. Amen. So in November 2014, you made me an elder of this church. And it is such an honour and a privilege to be able to serve such a wonderful group of God's people. And so since that time, I've been meeting with Dave and Andy, and I kind of still stand in awe of kind of Dave and Andy a little bit, because I kind of see those guys as elders and kind of not myself in a kind of way. I feel a little bit young and I don't know what I'm doing very sometimes. But I kind of, that's how I feel. But over the period, I've been praying hard about what God wants for Community Church Blackburn. And thinking about what is on his heart for this church and what God has laid on my heart for for this church. And I've been thinking about its values and its activities, that we're a family-orientated church, or we sell church. Our desire has got to go to the nations. We're a worship-filled, worshiping church. We want to be a praying church. We have a heart to see revival. I know Andy has a heart to see revival. There's lots of people here who want to see revival in Blackburn, and I share that. And we've got really strong, lots of children. I've been thinking about what God wants for us. And when you pray about stuff, God answers. So a few weeks ago, so that's what I've been in my mind over the last kind of few months. So a few weeks ago, I was thinking in the bath, which I very often think in the bath, because there's a lock on the door and there's no children can attack me or disturb me. And as I'm sitting in the bath, God said, go read Paul's letters to Philippians. So that's what he said. So when I went downstairs to have my breakfast, I did. I read it, and I read it for a few days. But I was drawn back and back and back to the same part of this letter, which is verses 9 to 12. And it's Paul's prayer for the Philippian church. It was what Paul wanted. It was what he was praying for them. And the more I dwelt over it over the weeks, and the more it's become my prayer for this church. Yeah, my prayer for this church. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. Okay, so I'm going to start with a history lesson just for Margie, because she loves history so much. And I'm going to tell you about the Philippian church. Who was Paul writing to? Well, this church was the kind of ancestor of every church in Europe. It was the first European church, and it was in Greece. It was set in Greece, and it was in a city that had been founded by Alexander the Great's dad, and he was called Philippomachedon, or Philip the Great, and it had been the setting for some really big battles in kind of Roman history. Have you heard of Brutus? Yeah, et tu, Brutus, is that right? Yeah, who knocked off Julius Caesar, the Roman geezer, and the big battle between Augustus and Brutus and all sorts of Roman battles. But it was a very, very strong Roman colony, was Philippi at this time. It was very proud of its Roman citizenship. So what had happened, actually, Paul had been called to plant this church in a dream of the Macedon man kind of calling him to this place. And that's in Acts 16. And it was founded on kind of Paul's third missionary. And if you read in the book of Acts, it was actually started with a women's meeting that was held by a river with some ladies called Lydia. And then the other people who were part of the church was a jailer and his family. They locked Paul up and then almost killed himself because he was worried about an earthquake and his prisoners running off. So that was the start of this church. But what's really interesting about this church and the way that Paul writes to it is when Paul writes letters in scripture, he normally writes to a church to address a problem. You know, there's normally some issue. So, for example, when he writes to Romans, he's trying to address the problem that there's Romans, so Jewish and Gentile believers, and they're falling out about who's God's people and all this. And if you read the Corinthian letters, it's all about sin and there's sexual sin and people getting drunk at communion and lawsuits against each other and divisions in the church about who's in charge and who's better and overuse of spiritual gifts where nobody's letting anybody have a do and all sorts of problems. And then in Thessalonians, there's basically people, he's writing that letter because the people are slagging off Paul and saying he's not an apostle, and the people not working because they're saying Jesus is coming back, why should we work? You know, so Paul's addressing that. And in Galatians, you see law coming back into the church and he's trying to sort that out. And in Colossians, again, you're seeing Paul's addressing Jewish law and he's trying to get the supremacy of Jesus back in the church. So normally, when he's writing a letter to a church, Paul, he's normally addressing quite a serious problem. There's a serious issue. But when he writes to the Philippian church, he's not railing against any deep theological problem. There's a very slight tiff happening between two ladies in the church, but they're good Christian ladies, and they're probably going to sort it out. But there's no massive problem in the Philippian churches. In fact, Paul's letter is a joyous letter. he says, joy, joy, joy. It's the most prominent word in the letter to Philippians. And Paul is writing to this church, not to deal with a problem, but to bless them and to thank them for sending money and helping his ministry and to just reassure them because they're worried about him being in prison. And he just goes on about joy, and there's great joy and a sense of, you know, thankfulness about this church. Paul is happy. And I think it's a little bit like, I'm going to say a big statement here, but Community Church Blackburn. I don't think this church has a massive theological problem. I don't get that sensation anyway. I don't think in general we preach heresy. Yeah? And I want to encourage you, because so often we're good at bashing ourselves over the head and saying we need to do better and we need to work harder and we're not good enough. But actually, I don't believe that is true. We are God's children and we're God's people. And when I look at Community Church Blackburn, I think Paul would write a similar letter to us. I'm saying big statements. Glory to God. We're not perfect. I am not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. But I think he would take great joy in a lot of what he would see. I think he would take great joy. And I'm going to put it out there. I think Community Church Blackburn is awesome. I love this church. I love this church with all my heart. And it's all through God's glory and God's work. Not our work, but it's wonderful. And when I go and talk to other people and I see a lot of other churches and I go to them, you know, and again, we're not perfect, but it makes me so proud to be part of the church. There's nowhere else I would rather worship than this church. There's nothing better than Andy Berry worship. There isn't. And that's new day and all these things. I love it. There's a sense of joy musically. Odd times, but yeah, but there is a joy and enjoyment of God when we worship. Yeah, there is love in this people, and there is grace in this church. And do you know why I actually came to this church and why I stayed as a family? And what great example you set me was your grace, because I watched a dog run around the front when somebody was preaching, and I just said, that church has grace. And you should be proud. You laugh, but you should be proud. There is grace. Our children are wonderful. There's a sense of love. I believe there's good biblical teaching with Dave and Andy. We actually do believe the Bible. It's very important. I think we're generally healthy. There's a mix of ages. It's not all middle class. It's not all poor. There's a mix of nations and cultures. It's not dead. There's a sense of God's presence regularly. We're not perfectionists, but we want everything to be for the glory of God. And we mostly get on. Yeah, and there's a real brotherhood and sisterhood in this church, and there's prophecies and there's tongues, and it's not all front led, and people bring their gifts, and what do we always say? We haven't said it yet. We believe God is good all the time. God is good. We believe that, and we believe in the grace and goodness of God. I don't care, I'm putting it out there. We're not perfect, but I love this church for many, many reasons. And we shouldn't always focus on the problems in the church. I love you. No, but we should take joy in being part of this God, part of God's people, with a bride of Christ. Who agrees? If you don't, tough. That's what I feel. Yeah? It's what I feel. So I think that God, Paul would feel a little bit, there's a similar feeling about how Paul felt about the Philippians and how I feel about you guys. You bring me great joy, great joy. So Paul was writing to that church in Philippians, but what was his prayer for this church? What was his prayer for this church in Philippians that was doing all right? What was his prayer? Well, his prayer was this. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you'll keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruits of your salvation, the righteous character produced in the life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory to God and praises to God. Paul was praying for more and more in this bit. So Paul's first prayer for the Philippian church in this little section, that their love would overflow more and more. And I need a volunteer. In fact, I'm not volunteering. Jeff, I'm going to borrow you. You're the king of visual things. So come on, come us. I need you at the front. You wanted love to flow more and more. But what do we mean by that? We say stuff like that a lot. We want love to flow more and more. But what does it mean? Right. This is God. It's not a very exact representation. That's his love. You might get your hand wet. That's a towel. And what I want you to do, I want you to pour water into there and let it overflow. And it's just so people remember. Yeah? So you might want to put it down because you all might get a bit steady after a bit. But just wait. I think you can do it in bits, actually. Just wait. Wait. So he wanted love to overflow. So what is love? What is love? We had a long discussion about this yesterday, me and John, what love is. Yeah? Well, God loves you. Yeah? The two things in Corinthians 13 that God love is, it says a lot about things that love is not, but what he says is love is patient and kind. And effectively, if you boil that down, patience is long-suffering, patience is mercy. Yeah, mercy is, it's passive love, and kindness is active love, which is grace, which is giving love. It gives, it does actively goodness. So you've got grace and mercy. And mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve, and grace is when you do get the stuff that you don't deserve. And here's God's love for you, and this is his mercy and grace. So pour every time I finish a verse. So I want to look at first, how does God pour his love out into you? Yeah? So first, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. God gives you something that you don't deserve, so, and that you don't perish, which is what we do deserve. Yeah? So Romans 5, verses 8, but God shows us his love, for while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When you were the dirtiest, scummiest sinner, God still loved you, and God still died for you. And that's his love pouring into you. Ephesians, yeah? 2:4-5, but God be rich in mercy because of the great love which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by grace. You have been saved. You have been saved by grace. Yeah, you've been saved by grace and made alive. You're now with God for eternal life. You're living an eternal life. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in the midst of you. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. God sings over you. God sings over you. And he's your savior, your God. That's his love pouring out into you. And it's overflowing. Yeah? Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are God's merciful. You, O Lord, are a God of merciful and graciousness, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God is faithful. Has God ever broken a promise to you? God will never break a promise to you. He can't, because he is faithful. And Jeremiah 29, verses 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has good plans for you. It's his grace pouring out into you. I could go on and on and on and on and on. Yeah, but some of God's names. The Lord is my banner. He takes me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. Think of God. that the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in pastures green. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. That's God's love pouring out. Yeah? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. God is a healer of your spirit and actively as well of your body. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Everything you have, God has provided for you. Everything. God is judge, creator, and God. And Jesus, he was good. He healed the sick. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That is God. That is God's goodness. Does God love us because of our goodness? No. Does God love us because of our kindness or grace? No. Does God love us because of our great faith? No. Does God love us because of his goodness? Yes. Does God love us because of his kindness and grace? Yes. And we overflow. He fills us with love. God is a God that loves you. And through that realization, he wants that to overflow in your lives, into your communities, to your church. He wants that to overflow. And Andy's always going on about the vertical relationship and the horizontal relationship. God's love into us is to overflow out of us. Be merciful with people. Be gracious with people. Because God is merciful and gracious to you. That is God's love. How does that make you feel? Yeah?
Good, that.
Good. Floating. I like that. I didn't write that, but that's good. Well done, Jeff. That's why I chose you. You're my favourite. Have you ever met people who are so enthralled by the love of God, it just oozes out of them? Have you ever met people like that, where you just see Christ so much in them? Have you met people like that? That love overflows from God into us. And that's my prayer for this church, that God's love will overflow from his mercy and his grace, and it will overflow into relationships with each other and into the community. And that is my prayer, that God will overflow his love more and more in this church. More and more. Nobody forces you to love others or God, but you do it because you want to, out of gratitude, out of love. So that was God's, that was Paul's first prayer. And I want that for this church, for love to overflow. Second request, it was to keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. How do we grow in knowledge of God? Sylvanus, how do we grow in knowledge of God? Boom. That's it. By spending time in the world in Scripture. Who is hungry for Scripture and God's Word? Yeah. It worries me, and I'm as bad at this sometimes as well, that I know the words to worship songs better than I know God's Word. And sometimes I know people know the plots to box series of TV series and films than they know about the plot of the story of redemption and God's love for us in Scripture. Yeah, that is frightening. But Paul was praying that the Philippian church would grow in the knowledge of God's word more and more and more. And there will be a hunger for God's word more and more and more. And that is my prayer for this church, that there will be a real heart for hunger for God's word. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world, or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. Small babies have to be fed. Yeah? Because they can't eat themselves. Yeah? But what happens when they grow up as adults? What's the difference between the way adults eat and babies eat? Adults feed themselves. Adults feed themselves. And we need to be more and more like adults and feed ourselves with Scripture. Go study. Go read Scripture. Go do it. And my prayer is there will be more and more of a hunger for God's word in this church. More and more. That you would feed yourself. Because do you know what? One preach a week ain't going to build up your knowledge in God's word. It'll help you. But you need to go and have a look at God's word itself. Go and check it out for yourself. Go learn it. Go read it. Go hunger for it. But that's not just it. Just by reading about something and studying and head knowledge about something on its own won't help you know God. Yeah? My wife, and she has brown, I could read a book about her. She's about 5 foot, 5'4". She's got brown hair. Yeah, she's female. And I could read all details about her life, but I wouldn't know her. Yeah? So how do we grow an experience of God? How do you do that? Through prayer. Yeah? Through worship. Through signs and wonders. And through the experience of God's grace and God's mercy. We've had love. But when I was thinking about it, something else. How do we, a way we can experience God's character more? Do you know what? I feel experience God's character more when I step out in faith. Yeah? Have you ever experienced it? When you step out in faith. And God wants this church to experience him more by stepping out in faith. By being faithful. And do you know what? God wants more faith in this church. And if you read Scripture, God wants his great guys in Scripture to trust him more and more. If you read the great guys in Scripture, guys like Abraham, guys like Moses, guys like Joseph, guys like Hezekiah, even Peter and Paul, what did they do? They stepped out in faith into the experience of God's grace and mercy. If you want to experience God, trust him and step out in faith. I bet you have a great faith story, Pete. Yeah, but it just shows you God's lavish graciousness, doesn't it? And we all have wonderful stories. It shows you about the fatherhood and the provision of God when we step out in faith. So Paul's prayer was that they would overflow with love. They were growing knowledge. They were growing his word. They were growing experience of his presence. But they were growing faith. And that is my prayer for the church. Let us grow in faith. God loves faith. He loves it because it blesses his heart. Yeah, guys, we need to want more and more of his spirit to step out in faith, to do scary stuff. Next he says, I want you to understand what really matters so that you might live a pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ returns. So what really matters? Video's coming soon. So I want you to introduce to a guy. I don't normally like using videos in preaches, but I want to introduce you to a guy who I think knows what really matters. And this guy is called, well, he's Archbishop Kouachi, he's called, and he's an Anglican bishop in Nigeria, and where persecution is really, really, really bad. And actually, last week when I was on my course, a guy called Andrew Wilson, was talking about this guy, and he actually spent some time in his house with him and talking to him and had a meal with him. And I wasn't going to play this video, but God confirmed to play it. This is God working. But I never heard of this guy until last weekend. I was thinking about doing this video. I went downstairs. Lisa said, will you post this letter for me? Who do you think the letter was for? Archbishop Kouachi. She had no idea who it is, but the day that I was thinking about using this video, God got my wife to write a letter to him and post it. So that confirmed for me. Right, let's watch this video. Let's see if we can see it. But just, it's about 3 minutes.
1987, in March, 7 to 12, 100 churches in Zaria City were burnt down, and over 300 Christian homes and businesses, cars, and a couple of people killed and destroyed. I was the leader then of the Christian Association Zaria chapter. And the Lord asked me to tell the people to do nothing. And I wrote that letter. It was circulated. And the Christians watched as their businesses were being destroyed, homes killed. In 2010, I was in Jos as bishop. To the date, 7th to the 12th of March, three villages in the near outskirts of Jos, Muslims massacred men, women, and children. And the church leaders, we were all convinced to beg the villagers and those that survived and the entire Christian community to do nothing. They cried until their voices were dried up, tears dried up, and there was nothing more to cry, and they just watched. In 2006, over 40 people came to my house to kill me. It turned out I postponed my return home, and they met my wife. They did unspeakable things to her, beat her, left her half dead and totally blind. Through the mercy of God, she recovered. 6 months later in the USA, she came back. Exactly 1 year later, they came back again. This time they met me at home. Over 30 people came, broke down the house. They had their time, broke down the back door, came in and took me out to kill me. They later on changed their minds and said they would kill me in my bedroom. I pleaded with them to pray, and they allowed me to pray. As I prostrated before the Lord, about 2 minutes later, my wife was holding my hands. 5 minutes later, my son came in and I said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Daddy, they've gone." What chased them away, what they saw, what they didn't see, only eternity will reveal. Now, friends, I'm not saying this to play down on those who have died. I've lost a classmate who was a pastor in Kaduna. He was roasted in his church. I've lost colleagues, schoolmates, and brothers and sisters who've been slaughtered for the faith. Why I'm alive, I don't know. But one thing I know, until my time is up, and I know I will die someday, blood crash, air crash, car crash, whatever crash, until that day, I have a gospel to proclaim. I have a gospel worth living for, and I have a gospel worth dying for. Amen.
Favorite verse in the Bible. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities or the real things of heaven, where Christ sits in a place of honor at God's right hand. Think about these things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you have died to this life. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. That is the reality. That is the reality of things. You are not citizens of this earth. You are citizens of heaven. You are citizens of heaven. You're not of this earth. And the realities, the real things, are the spiritual realm. Yeah? That's where Christ sits on the throne. Fix your eyes on those realities, whatever it seems like down here. And that what is was the real truth. And Paul wanted them to understand and to live more and more in that truth. And it's my prayer for this church that we're not of this earth, that we fix our eyes on the realities of heaven, the true things of God. Paul's fourth prayer, he prays for more and more love, he prays for more and more knowledge, more and more prayer and experience and presence and faith and more truth. And the next thing he prays for this church is more and more holiness. He says, live pure and blameless lives until Christ comes. Blameless lives is holiness. In Timothy 2:20 it says, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver and some are made of wood and clay. And the expensive utensils are used for special occasions and the cheap ones for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honourable use. Your life will be clean and you'll be ready for the master's use for every good work. A church is more effective building God's kingdom when it is concerned with personal holiness. Do we mean business with God as this church? If you do, we need to keep ourselves through God's Spirit pure and separate. Not separate from sinners, but separate from sin. Separate from sin. Holiness is striving not to sin through the grace of God and the Holy Spirit. You know, I love reading stories of the lives of great men of God. Great men of God. Guys like John Wesley and George Whitfield and William Booth and Hudson Taylor and Terry Virgo and Billy Graham. And what strikes me is not that they're smart or they've got great schemes for building churches or church growth models or anything like that. What strikes me is their personal holiness, because God honours things that are clean and uses special utensils for special things. I believe that God will not build his church on how clever we are or on models, but he will build this church on how holy we are. And the Old Testament is full of priests, stories of priests who stain their clothes with sin, and they were not effective for God's kingdom. If you've got sin in our lives, we need to repent and we need to be truly sorry and not do it again. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood, and live holy lives, and let's see what God will do in this church. Andy, shout out, if my people, who are called by my name, do the rest, Andy, go on.
My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and I will heal their land.
Do you want that for Blackburn, for this church? We need to ask for God's Spirit. We want more and more holiness. More and more holiness. Then God will use us for special things. And that was Paul's prayer for the Philippians, that they would be more and more holy. Then God says, until the day of Christ's return, he wants us to live in the hope of Christ's return. Let our love overflow. Let us grow in knowledge and experience of worship and prayer and faith. Let us understand what really matters. Let us live in truth. Let us keep our eyes on the realities of heaven, on the things of God. Keep ourselves holy so God can use us in special ways. And live more and more in the hope of Jesus' return. Christ has saved you through his death. Christ is saving you through his Spirit via sanctification, which is cleaning you up. And Christ is going to save you when he comes again in power and in glory. And do you believe that? He is going to destroy injustice and he's going to put all things right. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth and no more crying, no more tears. And we'll bask in God's light for eternity and we will never get old. And we're going to get new bodies and we're going to get new... It's just going to be wonderful. Betty, you're going to get a new body. It's going to be awesome. Tim, you're going to get a new body. A brand new body. And that is reality. And we need to live in hope of Jesus is going to come in this church more and more. Finally, he says, may you be always filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in you by the life of Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. The reason God gives you more and more of his Spirit is to produce more and more of his fruit. More and more of his fruit. And the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives that is love, which is joy, which is peace, which is patience, which is kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And these are the Holy Spirit brings life and these are the fruits of eternal life. And he wants more and more and more in your life. More and more fruits in this church and in the church of the Philippians. Why were we saved? Why are we saved? Why have we been brought into his kingdom? Why did we save us? He loves us certainly, but for what purpose? Ephesians 2 verses 8. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that God has planned for us. You are not saved by works, but you are saved by faith, by his grace, for good works. So what this church is here for in Blackburn. Fruits lead to good works. Yeah, this is from the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus' words. You are the light. You are the light of the world. Like a city on the hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Good deeds. You're not saved by good deeds. You're saved by faith, but you are saved for good works. For good works in this church. I've been thinking about what minimum church is and maximum church. Minimum church is people we meet together. We have church leaders. We have communion ever so often. We worship. We do that thing. But actually, what would maximum church be? What would be the most effective church we could have? It would be a church that abounds in good works. So you can have all that, but if you want a church that glorifies God more and more and more, good works. Faith without deeds. What is faith without deeds? It is dead, James says. So that was his prayer for the Philippian churches. And that's my prayer for this church in many, many ways. He wanted the Philippian church to understand what the truth is more and more. He wanted our love to overflow, our knowledge to grow through his word, through prayer, through church, through faith, through worship and experience more and more. He wanted us to understand the truth more and more. He wanted to understand what the realities of heaven were, what really matters. He wanted to understand we are a colony of heaven. He wants them to grow in holiness more and more, to live clean lives more and more, sanctified by the Spirit, to be more effective for God. He wanted to be them to be special vessels. He wanted them for a special purpose, and he wanted them to live in hope, and he wanted them to bear fruit in their character and in their works more and more and more. And that is my prayer for this church. More and more. But why? Why? Why bother? Why all that? Why did he want all that? Last bit. For the glory and praise of God. The church in Philippi was there to give glory and praise to God. And we are saved to give glory and praise to God. And this church is here to give glory and praise to God. I'm reading a guy called John Piper at the moment. It's wonderful stuff. But his mantra is, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And we are to give glory to God in everything. So that was Paul's prayer for the Philippians. And that is my prayer and my wish as an elder for Community Church Blackburn. That our love will overflow more and more. That we'll keep on growing in knowledge and understanding and experience of God. That we understand what really matters so that we may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May we always be filled with the fruits of our salvation, the righteous character produced in life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. I just want to pray and then I'll hand over to Andy. Lord, I just pray, I thank you, I give you glory, Lord. Send more and more of your Spirit, that you are glorified and that our love will overflow more and more and more in Community Church Blackburn, into this church and into the community outside. Lord, I pray that there is a hunger for more and more knowledge of you through your word and study of Scripture, and more and more hunger for you for the experience of prayer and praise and worship and faith, Lord. May we have an abundance of faith, an abundant trust in you, Lord. Lord, I pray that we live more and more in the truth of your word, that we keep our eyes fixed on the realities of heaven and not focused on the things down here, Lord. The realities of heaven, Lord, where you sit with the Father, and that you have all authority and all power, whatever Satan can throw at us. That the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. That is the reality, Lord. Lord, send your spirit. Let us have more and more in this church. Let us focus on the face of you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that this church grows and grows more in holiness, Lord. That we live clean and sanctified lives, Lord. That you can be glorified in us, Lord. And that we are more effective for you in building your kingdom. Lord, may your kingdom come, Lord. But can we be special vessels for your purpose, Lord Jesus? We want more and more of that. Lord, I want this church to grow in hope, Lord. Hope that you are coming. That you are going to come in glory and power and live under that truth more and more, Lord. Lord, I want us to be filled more and more with your fruits, Lord. With love, with joy, with peace in our lives, Lord. And that we are just almost, we want to do more and more good deeds that glorify your name, Lord. Do not let us hide this lamp under a bushel. Lord, that good deeds that glorify you. More and more, Lord. And Lord, may we all do it for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. For your glory and your honour. We ask all these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.